As far as landmarks, like you were saying, you got to learn, or naturally you grew up with knowing different places on the map. But like 135th Street, they used to the tugboat used the tugboat operator used to tell you he was at Grant's Tomb when he was approaching 135th Street. When the tug was approaching 59th Street, they would tell you they're at the Intrepid. When the tug was the Statue of Liberty was another
I
landmark.
see.
The Verrazano Bridge was another landmark. So the boat that used to go to the South Bronx and North Shore used to go through a place called Hell's Gate. So that was another landmark, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. And then do you, oh, I know that trip to the South Bronx required timing with the tides. Could you just explain that a little bit?
Well, Hell Gate, which I had mentioned, it was a narrow, it's a narrow opening for the tug to go in. So the tide is very, very, the current is very strong. So you had a time that current, that tide, so that the boat could get make it through Hell's Gate. With the tide, going with the tide. So that's one that you always had to keep on tide was the gate. We called it the gate boat. So you always had to keep that on tide because if he was off, he might need an assist to get through there. You might need two tugs to take that tow. Through that area to get into that area.
And it would have to go in with the hot coming in tide or the leaving
Yeah, the
tide?
same thing.
Same
You would
thing.
have to know the high tide so he can get up there, and you'd have to know the low tide for him to come back out.
Oh, okay. So would the tugs have to hang out there for the
You know,
in
if
between, or would they?
the way I thought of it is like a big hourglass. So when you turn the hourglass, you could see all the water coming down. And so that would be your your high tide. And when you turned it back over, you could see, so that's how I always looked at the tides, like an
I
hourglass.
see. So would it be the ideal scenario to have it going through the Hell Gate like right at the end of high tide, like right when they were about to kind of switch so
No,
that you could get out?
just as long as he was running with the tide, that would, just as long as he wasn't going against the
I
tide,
see.
you know.
Cool. Alrighty. And then I was wondering if there are any significant changes over time, over like through the course of your career at the DSNY. I know you were after this, but a lot of the workers in last year's interviews noted sort of when women came on the job that really changed things for them. Or I know again that you were came on the job or came into this position after the Woodbridge consent order, but I know that changed a lot of things at Freshkills. Was there anything similar to that in magnitude, or were things pretty constant?
No, not really. They really when I worked in Brooklyn, when I first started on the job, I worked with the woman on the truck, and this girl, no one wanted to go out and work with her because, they told me that either you work with her or you go home, but I didn't even mind because she did her job and. She was very good. The only thing that was difficult for her was driving. So I would have to get out of the truck and help her when it came to like an intersection to drive the truck.
I
But
see.
otherwise, we did good. We had a blast.
Oh, good. And then was there anything in the marine transport operations or changes that affected your job as a dispatcher through the time that you were
Well,
at Freshkills?
the only thing was the closing of the landfill, naturally,
Of course.
and with that, then I went up to Manhattan. I went to work in Manhattan after that.
How long was that sort of in the works? Like, how long did that transition take to closing closing? Did you know, like, a year in advance that it was going to close, or how?
Well, we knew that the landfill was closing,
right?
And in 2001.
Uh-huh.
And the only other significant thing that I wanted to tell you what happened to me was 9/11.
Right.
You know, witnessing the destruction of the buildings,
yeah,
and going out to Fresh Kills the next day. And working at the landfill after 9/11.
Okay. I actually have a number of questions about 9/11, and maybe this is a good time to skip ahead. And again, if any of this makes you uncomfortable or you prefer not to talk
about it,
just ask me to move on. So I was just sort of wondering, so it's my understanding that when 9/11 happened, you were already working in Manhattan, correct?
Yes, okay. I was.
Okay, and how long had you been working in Manhattan at that point?
I went to Manhattan in 2000.
Okay.
So I was there a year.
A year, basically. Okay. And then what exactly was your role in the sort of cleanup effort when they moved you back out to Fresh Kills?
Well, in Fresh Kills, uh-huh, they started taking a lot of debris,
mm-hmm,
by barge.
Right.
So naturally... you know, I had the expertise in the barges,
mm-hmm,
and I knew all of the different tugboat operators.
Yeah.
So it really helped as far as, you know, setting up the barges again, you know?
Yeah. And how long, how quickly was the Fresh Kills reopened after 9/11?
Oh, the next day.
Oh, immediately. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
The next day.
Wow. And then so within 24 hours, basically you were in the tower.
I was working in Manhattan at that time.
Yeah, right.
So one day I was working in Manhattan,
uh-huh,
and the next day I was back out in Fresh Kills.
Wow, that's
But Fresh Kills had been closed since March.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, they how can I say it? They were prepared to take all of this debris.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Was it? And what MTSs were they using for that?
Well, actually. They were using 59th Street.
Okay.
They were using Hamilton.
Okay.
And they were using they had set up a dock on the by the heliport on the west side of Manhattan.
I see.
Downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They actually built a dock to load some of the steel beams and whatnot that they had.
How long did that take to get that?
I don't know. I can't tell you exactly how long it took for them to build that dock.
Yeah.
But I know we were immediately taking... in fact, it seemed like people were just scrambling then to clean up that area.
Yeah.
Like, we had barges being loaded with cars that still had gasoline in them.
Wow.
And... and they were loading steel beams into barges, and you know, everybody had to finally get on the same page and say, you know, we can't take this type of material in a barge.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah, that's obviously quite dangerous.
Yeah. So
wow. So there was sort of an immediate reaction, and then there was sort of administrative processes that followed to kind of organize it a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Okay. And as far as, like, were you involved in any of that kind of planning, or were you just
everything in the landfill, as far as the debris coming
mm-hmm.
in, as far as the tracking of the barges,
mm-hmm.
As far as, the tracking of the, debris, as far as the tonnage that we were taking into the landfill, that
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Okay. And then were you also still in charge of your regular duties at that time, or were you 100% on the 9/11 cleanup at that point?
Well, we at that point...
I know collection continued.
Yeah, the people that worked in the landfill were strictly the cleanup.
Uh-huh.
We had other people... supervisors out in the field
uh-huh.
that were, you know, working with the private places to bring the garbage.
I see. Okay. And then did they have to, did the DSNY have to bring on additional marine dispatchers? Because at that point, I don't know what your other.
No, basically, whoever worked in the landfill, we were working 12-hour shifts.
Oh wow!
So we weren't too far as having somebody that knew marine transportation that could handle it.
Yeah, it seems like in some ways that the timing was. This is a bad thing to say, I think, but you know, it was kind of serendipitous that it happened at that time because there are people still in the department who knew how to do this stuff.
Yeah, everybody. There was tractor operators that worked in the landfill that had to be, you know, I believe they called a lot of guys back to work for that. They were crane operators. Yeah. I mean, the department went into full swing down in the landfill.
Yeah, it's incredible. I was listening to an interview with Marty Ballou about that that was taking place a couple years ago, and it sounds like it was quite an amazing how quickly it was you guys were able to mobilize
We just did our job down there, you know. We weren't even. I mean, naturally, you were thinking about what was going on, but you know, we just organized the cleanup and moved as quickly as we could down there.
Did you have to reopen contracts with all the tugboat operators to get that? Were they kind of?
No, because at that time we still had a tug that was operating at 59th Street. Mm. And it was easy enough just to call Moran and say, you know, we need another tug for this operation.
Right. And they're a local company, so obviously they were aware of the situation. Okay, that was kind of the extent of my questioning about 9/11, unless there's anything else that you would like to add or thoughts that you had that I haven't touched on.
No, that's about it. Yeah. That's about it.